knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men. The Shadow knows.
Once again, your neighborhood blue coal dealer brings you the thrilling adventures of the Shadow, the hard and relentless fight of one man against the forces of evil. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcefully to old and young alike that crime does not pay.
Government forecasts indicate that homeowners may face another winter of shortages of all type of fuel for home heating. You're fortunate if you heat with coal because you're liable to and you're able to store fuel. Call your blue coal dealer tomorrow and place your order so we can schedule early delivery. Make sure that you order the right size for your furnace. And if you're not sure what it should be, ask your blue coal dealer. He'll be glad to inspect your heat plant and may be able to make other recommendations, too, that will help you get more heat and to burn less fuel. Tomorrow, first thing, call the nearest blue coal dealer and ask him to schedule your supply of blue coal for early delivery. The Shadow, who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret, the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible Shadow belongs. Today's drama, The Curse of the Gypsies. For a dozen years, the old Stanfield mansion has been locked tight. Creepers have overgrown the walls. Dead branches scratch at the windows. And now, on a windswept night, three people, Elise King, the Stanfield heiress, her husband Stefan King, and a nurse are coming home. Stefan unlocks the door. And three walk into the long, deserted house.
See, Elise. Nothing in here but dust heaps and the musty smell of an old house. No gypsy curses, no ghosts, no...
Oh, I was just closing the door, Mrs. King.
I'll light a candle. Let there be light, huh? And the terror will end. There.
No. No, it's worse now. Shadow is looming everywhere.
Ah, you're overwrought, my darling, and fine. Get you to bed. Take my arm on the stairs.
Stefan, whose room am I to sleep in?
Your mother's.
Where she was brought up. After that accident? No! No, I won't go up there.
Control yourself, Elise. Conquer these fears. Realize they exist only in your mind.
Stefan. Over there.
I didn't hear anything.
Then from Father's room.
Mrs. King, please.
What did it again? It's Father.
Still
in there after all these
years. Stop talking nonsense, Elise. Your father was given a decent burial. You saw him in the grave yourself.
No, he's come back. You must hear that, Stefan. Oh, tell me you hear it.
I hear a noise of some kind. Probably a tree outside the window. But we'll soon find out.
Oh, no.
Right now, I'm opening the door to your father's room. Hold the candle up. Elise, what is it?
A man. Hanging by the neck.
Where? I don't see anything, do you, nurse?
No, Mr. King. I don't see anything.
Good of you and Miss Lane to come down so quickly, Mr. Cranston. Frankly, I'm very uneasy.
So I gathered from your telegram, Mr. King.
You also mentioned something about a gypsy curse. It sounds extraordinary.
It's even more sinister than you think, Miss Lane. It's already accounted for the lives of two people. My wife, father, and mother. Now I'm afraid that Elisa's life is threatened.
Suppose you start at the beginning.
Now, that takes us back a good many years. When George Stanfield, Elisa's father, was a young man, he fell violently in love with a gypsy girl. Eventually, he hired her. Oh, he cut her up, now Elisa's mother.
Oh, dear, romance went sour.
Very sour, I'm afraid, Miss Lane. The gypsy girl became crazed with grief and took her own life. But not before she had put a curse on George Stanfield and his family.
Curse? What was the nature of this malady?
That all three of the Stanfields, father, mother, and daughter, to die by violent death, Mr. Benson.
How odd.
So far, it has worked out to the letter. Lisa's mother was killed in plain writing, you see.
And Lisa's father?
Death by hanging in this very house. Apparently suicide. Yet, he had no reason for doing away with himself. He left no suicide note.
See,
there was another suspicious circumstance surrounding each death. The gypsies were encamped across the hill.
The
they make their winter headquarters here at Jim's.
Oh.
And they're back now.
In that case, it seems a little strange you brought your wife back to this environment, Mr. King.
I did it deliberately on good medical advice. I wanted to prove to you that there was no basis for neurotic fear to develop. At least, that's what I thought it would be.
I see. And what's happened in the meantime?
Well, the first night he arrived, she saw, or thought she saw, the body of a man hanging in her father's room. All in her mind, of course, but...
But it wasn't all in my mind.
Elise.
There was somebody in that room.
Alicia, please.
I have proof now. I went back in that room. I forced myself to go back in. I was so sure of what I'd seen.
You were very brave. Now, let me introduce our guests.
Oh.
Miss Lane and Miss Cranston, my wife.
How do you do? How do you do?
So you found something in your father's room?
Yes, Mr. Cranston. I picked this up from the floor. A brass earring.
Goodness. It must have been lying there unnoticed ever since the house was locked up.
I doubt it, Mr. King. It was tarnished in that time.
You mean...
Still brightly polished. Couldn't have been dropped there more than 4 days ago.
Then somebody's been playing tricks on my wife.
We'll know more about that, Mrs. King, when Margaret and I visited their camp. Come on,
darling. Well, it's all my trouble finding the one gypsy with the missing earring.
Perhaps. Unless we get help from the gypsy fortune teller.
How is this?
Asleep now. Dave had to done it.
You ought to have done that before she started wandering around the house. She almost upset the apple cart in front of Clint.
But you're blaming me.
I'm not blaming any. You know, the night was pretty.
That's your doing, Stefan. I was all against getting that detective. I'm here at it's insane.
We have to have someone to testify that Elise was going off her head.
A nice old lady would have done just as well. That wasn't good enough for you. Oh, no, you had to have the great Cranston to match with.
Cora.
Now he's got that earring, and Lord knows what he'll find out at the gypsy camp. Hungry enough to hang us both.
Shut up.
I won't shut up. Is my method well as yours? And do you think I'm going to risk it because of your crazy vanity? Oh, fine.
I don't like you, Elisa. I don't like you, too.
That's
better. That's more like the girl, are you?
You really know that?
Of course, dear.
Then why do we have to go through with this? Why can't you divorce Elisa?
And lose her fortune? Oh, no, God. I've learned to enjoy money too much to get along without it. Aren't you forgetting, dear? There won't be anything as unpleasant as that. Just the suicide of a mentally deranged girl. That Clancy can't approve of anything different.
So, you have found the gypsy earring, Mr. Cranston. And you are very concerned over who might have lost it, huh? You take me for a fool?
Why, Jethro?
I have had experience of your kind. Meeting outsiders only mean one thing to gypsy. Trouble.
There'll be more trouble if you refuse to give me information. And a murder takes place at the Stanfield mansion.
Stanfield? Then it is true. Just as the car threw the Ruby first come back.
Ruby?
The gypsy girl, George Stanfield, drove crazy 30 years ago. He swore she would come back from the grave to destroy him and his dear wife.
But that's impossible,
is it? Remember, she came back twice before. And each time it was in the car. Look, I drew them out. And you can see for yourself. There. Here is guide in my hand. The flat earth. Followed by the queen. It is certain death, I tell you. You see, Ruby see, back from the grave.
Father!
Take it easy, lady. You live longer.
Come in, Grandino. I was hoping you would drop around. I got some extra special customers tonight. Miss Lane and Mr. Cranston, the detectives.
You don't say. Any little murders you want solved, Mr. Cranston?
Is that your specialty, Grandino?
Sure. I know all about them because I commit them. Tuesday is my murder day. The rest of the week I'm drumming up the season.
Which were you doing 4 nights ago in the old Stanfield mansion? I noticed your right ear is pierced. Here's the earring you left behind you.
Why are you?
And I've got a gun, which I think he sees.
Take it easy, Mr. Cranston. Relax. Enjoy yourself. You live longer.
I'm still waiting for my answer, Grandino. What are you doing at the Stanfield, please?
I have told you, Mr. Cranston, it was Ruby, the ghost of the poor child.
I know the ghost could give me a window getter. However, if Grandino has nothing to say, we'll take it up with the police. Come on, Margo.
You're funny, Mr. Cranston. Very funny. Glad you think so. I usually play for the last laugh.
I bought the mixed up in it. Was that the way Gerda suddenly changed character when I mentioned the Stanfield mansion?
Yes. Became a weird old fortune telling me. So
why? My hunch is she was trying to protect someone. I was going far enough into the shadow of this wagon.
Then we're not going to
the place? No, I just threatened that to put the pressure on Grandino. It's up to him to make the next move.
But there he goes now. He's in great
luck. Yes. Apparently in a great hurry to get someplace. We're going to follow him, Margo, but be careful. Remember, he's got a knife. More than likely, he knows how to throw it.
Hello?
Grandino, Mr. King.
You fool. I told you never to phone this house.
Take it easy, Mr. King. If it's Cranston and his girlfriend you're worried about, I fixed him.
What?
They took it into their heads to follow me. I led him a merry chase, all right, to the swamp.
But the quicksand?
That's the idea. They're good and lost now. They'll be lucky if they ever get out.
You blundering fool, how dare
you? Take it easy, Mr. King. There isn't healthy talk. I'm phoning from the diner to say I'm coming over to see you.
No, it's too dangerous.
You're right over, Mr. King.
Grandino. Grandino. Blundering idiot, he's ruined everything.
You mean Miss Lane and Cranston?
If they ever get out of the swamp, they'll be too suspicious. Watch every move I make.
Oh, perhaps it's all for the best, do
you? Oh, don't start that again, Cora.
That's fine.
Why did I ever trust anyone? So easy before.
What?
I won't give up now. I'll work out some other plan. I won't stop till I wipe out every last member of the Stanfield family.
And the police, you who killed Elisa's father and mother.
What are you talking about?
What puts them dreaming in your mind? Revenge. That's why you want to do away with Elise, too. You don't give a rap to me. You never have. You're just using me as an accomplice.
Darling, listen to me.
No. It's too late now.
Too late. And you know too much.
Stefan. Nice.
You're another fool who had the medal.
Stefan, you're mad. If you kill me, you'll never escape.
You're wrong, Cora. My one way out. I've been working out a plan, you see. I thought for you.
We will return to the shadow in just a moment. Folks, if you do not have a Blue Coal Temp Master automatic heat regulator on your furnace, you're missing plenty. You are missing the wonderful work-saving ease that automatic temperature control gives. The Temp Master eliminates every trip to the basement to adjust furnace dampers. And you're missing, too, the ease
even, healthful, steady heat that only automatic temperature control can give. The Campmaster, with its electric eye thermostat, is on the job every minute all day long. It's far more sensitive to temperature changes than your body, and keeps your home exactly at the temperature you set on the upstairs thermostat. Yes, you're missing carefree heating comfort in your home if you do not have a Blue Coal Campmaster. And the Campmaster is so easy and so inexpensive to install, you really can't afford to be without one. Actual records prove that a Campmaster saves so much fuel, it can easily pay for itself in a single winter. So tomorrow, call at your nearest Blue Coal dealer and ask him to demonstrate the Campmaster in your home. There is no charge or obligation. Your Blue Coal dealer is listed in the classified section of the telephone directory. Now, back to the shadow. Lamont and Margot, in search of the truth about a strange gypsy curse, had extricated themselves from the swamp into which they were led by the gypsy Grandino, and are now entering the Sandfield Mansion.
The king?
I hardly expected it, Margot. My guess is he's out somewhere keeping a tryst with Grandino.
Anything
to get the next one? Almost certainly. First job is to get a lease out of this house and to safety. After that, we can complete our case against the other two. Let me see. Is this the room?
Yes,
it is,
downstairs.
There is something holding the door.
Maybe at least there's a chair for this.
Feel like it. There, now we can get through.
Oh, it's so dark.
Just a minute. Here's a switch.
Come on.
That's what was holding the door. What is on earth?
The knife.
Sandino's knife, by the looks of it. Look at the room all torn up as if there'd been a struggle.
Sandino must have come in for a leak. He knows I'm defending him.
Anyway, this is gone now. It's been carried out through this open window.
Yes, there's dirt on the road.
Well, come on, Margot. All we can do is follow. I'll go first. Now, careful, darling. I'll give you a hand down.
Here I come.
We'll try the garage first, see if the car is gone. Is it possible?
Oh, yeah.
Over there, it's Mr. King.
I can hear him, Mark. That gas on his forehead.
Mr. King, you hear me?
Oh, Mr. Grantson, help me.
There you are. Now, what happened, Mr. King?
I heard a noise inside. Came out here to investigate, but there's a scream from the police room. I ran up to the window and... I couldn't remember.
Elise is gone.
What? Oh, they've taken her.
Imagine, Mr. King. Margot and I are going after Elise now. Come on, darling.
Forget this, Mr. Clanson. Forget this.
Here now what happened. Whatever game Mr. King is playing with Grandino is backfired. Grandino must have kidnapped Elise, probably for ransom.
Probably taking her back to the gypsy camp. So, Margot, there's only one person who can tell us for sure. Goethe, the fortune teller.
Goethe?
Yes. She's going to get a visitor she didn't foresee in the car. The shadow.
Why did you bring me down to the wine cellar, Grandino?
I wanted to private talk with you, Mr. King.
Well?
5,000 is not enough, Mr. King.
But that was our bargain.
Now Grandino is changing the bargain. 5 grand was all right when I was just playing tricks on your wife, like pretending to hang myself.
And a mess you made of that, dropping your earring.
But now I've gone on to bigger stuff. I've become an artist, you might say. The Botticelli of the Black Duck. But beautiful wound you have on your forehead.
You didn't have to hit me so hard, you almost broke my skull.
It made a monkey out of Cranston. He's upsetting me now, looking for your wife. And all the time, she's lying here, doped in the wine cellar. Yes, Mr. King. That ought to be worth a lot of money to you.
How much do you want?
25 grand. You can afford it. You'll be a rich man soon. A fortune all to yourself. Left by your poor, dead wife.
I'll be fine. Got a glass of wine?
Yeah. Makes you thirsty looking at these big vats.
Here's to success.
Mud in your eye, Mr. King.
Ah, good job.
thought it over.
What?
The 25 grand.
Oh, yes. I've come to the conclusion, Grandino. You won't need that much money.
You're funny, Mr. King.
You're exhausted. In fact, very soon now, you won't need any money at all. Very soon.
What did you put in that wine?
It works fast. You should have stuck to your blackjack, Grandino, and left blackmail alone.
You're funny, Mr. King. Very funny.
You'll get a gypsy burial, Grandino. Your body in a swamp.
And then, really, I'll be ready for you.
What's wrong with the car? They pay me nothing. No figures come up on the numbers.
Because your days are numbered, Jetta.
Who's there?
This is the shadow, Jetta.
I hear a voice from nowhere.
Shadow is right here beside you.
What do you want with me?
Where is Elise King?
I don't know.
She was taken from the house. Her husband was knocked unconscious.
What's this one? What's that one? Where did it come?
You seem very concerned about Mr. King,
I
believe I understand. I don't suppose you feel as affectionate toward Grandino?
No, I always say that he was always snooping around my wagon, trying to find out things.
What things? No lies, get up.
He was curious about my little boy, the child I adopted long ago.
I see. So you raised an adopted child, Gerda. That must have taken money. Where did you raise it?
I had a rich admirer once. He was generous.
I think I can guess his name. George Stanfield. But this locket around your neck should prove it. There.
Shadow, give that back.
Not till I've read the inscription. To my beloved Ruby.
Shadow.
So that's it. You're the crazy girl who was supposed to have died of heartbreak. The gypsy girl who cursed the Stanfield family.
No.
But you lived on to take your revenge, didn't you, Goethe? Or should I call you Ruby?
Listen to me.
I haven't time for that now. Your son must be stopped before he commits his last crime.
You will be too late. The last of the Stanfields must die tonight. The cards say so.
But the shadow says no.
What are you doing up here, Stefan?
I have a surprise for you, Elise. Yes? I found it when I was exploring up here this afternoon. This old trunk. Do you recognize it?
My wedding dress.
Yes. Let me place it around this table.
Oh, no. Don't.
You must have been... You remember how happy you were that day?
So happy.
Perhaps if you put the dress on again, that happiness would come back. Everything that has happened since would disappear like a bad dream.
Oh, if it only would.
Look how prettily it fits about you.
Oh, you're so kind, Stefan. Thirsty.
Now, my dear, take my hand and step up to the altar.
Up to the altar?
You remember the scent of the flowers and the organ playing softly in the background?
Oh, yes.
And do you remember the present I gave you that day?
Well.
Close your eyes, my dear, and I'll put them on again. A rope of pearls about your neck. You feel them cutting your throat?
There's a rock. Feels like a rope. A rattle around my neck.
Goodbye, Elise, last to the Stanfield. You're going to... Slipping on this. He's fainted. What? There's someone in here. Where are you?
Right here, Stefan.
Whose voice is that?
The shadow, Stefan. I have come for you. Your crimes are over.
You can't prove anything against me, Shadow.
I can prove murder for one thing, Stefan. And for another, trying to drive this poor girl insane.
Yes, Shadow, she is insane. And that's why you can't prove anything against me.
I can prove you're a son of Goethe, the fortune teller, Stefan. And that for her sake, the sake of revenge, you killed Elise's mother and father. Then you killed the nurse, and perhaps Grandino, too.
Yes, Grandino, too. But he'll get the blame for the nurse's death, Shadow. No one can convict me as long as Elise is out of her mind.
No one will have to, Stefan. You yourself are going to write a free and open confession.
Are you mad?
No, but Elise is. And she's coming through now.
How do you know?
You'll find out. You
George, there you are. The son I love. You didn't believe. I'm glad you did. Because now I can see you.
Hello, Papa.
You failed, Stefan, but I won't.
Ready for a confession, Stefan?
Don't hurt me, Stefan. You love me, remember? You're my husband.
Do you know the confession, Stefan?
No! No, Stefan! No!
I'll confess. I'll sign anything. Get her away. Elise! I had to do that.
What have I done? What have I done?
You barely aided justice to me.
I don't understand.
Perhaps that's just as well. Soon you'll be completely well again and will hardly remember the horror you suffered from a man named Stefan King. By then we'll have died in the electric chair.
Now let me present Blue Coal's distinguished heating authority, John Bartley.
Thank you, Andre Baruch, and good evening, friends. In buying shoes, you make certain that you get the right size. And in ordering coal for your furnace, size is just as important. The right size of coal will burn better, last longer, and give you more heat for less money. So if you don't know whether your heating plant ought to use chestnut, stove, or egg, better find out. Your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer will be glad to inspect your furnace and to give you expert advice. He may be able to show you other ways to get better heating, too. Such as better draft control and elimination of small leaks. Yes, to really save fuel and to get better heat. Be sure that your furnace is clean, be sure that it's efficient, and be sure that you order the right size of coal. I thank you.
This story is copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. The names, characters, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Again next week, the shadow will demonstrate that
the weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, your friendly Blue Coal dealer brings you another strange and thrilling adventure in the Shadow's daring battle against the forces of evil. The Shadow is presented by the T.L.W. Coal Company, distributors of Blue Coal. Lamont Sampson is played by Brett Morris. Margo by Grace Matthews. Your announcer, Andre Baruch. Remember, it's Blue Coal for finest heating service. It's Blue Coal for finest modern equipment. It's Blue Coal for the best home heat money can buy. Friends, partially handicapped workers are often better workers. Your local public employment office lists many workers who are not handicapped for your business, who are more careful, more reliable, more conscientious. Yes, it's good business to hire the handicapped. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.